So before we get going, I want to ask you a question. Now let me see, let me tell you first the purpose of today, which is to explore effective entrepreneurial marketing principles for the market farmer or whoever you are, since apparently not all of you are market farmers, that's fine. But I want you to be able to optimize your marketing time, your efforts, and your money. How many of you think that might be a good idea and you're interested? Okay, all right, good. So that's what the purpose is of being here today. And we're gonna cover some main points. We're gonna be talking about marketing and branding. We're gonna be talking about clarity around your avatar, foundational marketing principles, as well as some product development and positioning. So that's kind of what we're looking at in this session. We're gonna have a little break before we go into the second session. All right, so is everybody good with that? Is that what you came here for? Is this what you signed up for? Is this what you think you wanted? All righty. So next we have a connection question. And my connection question for you is, I want you to think about what you wanna get out of this pair of sessions and why that's important for you. All right, so find a partner, move around if you need to, and share with your partner why you came to this class this afternoon and why that's important to you. So you can have 2 minutes to do that. Okay, so I'd like two people to share what your partner shared with you. I just want to get a little bit of a flavor for what you all said. If somebody volunteer, just raise your hand. What'd your partner share with you? Marsha.
So my partner over here, what's your name?
Taniqua
is from New York. And I told her I walked over here with somebody from New York. Anyway, she grew, for the first time, I think, a garden last year, and had a ton of produce that she ended up giving away. Mm. So she's thinking that it might be a better option to sell it.
Okay, I love that. Anybody else? One other person. Come on, don't be shy. Thank you.
We need help.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what we're going to do. We're going to be talking about different things that are going to help you with your marketing. So just really quick, for those of you that weren't in my class this morning, if you were in my class this morning, you can like doodle or do something else right now. I got started as an entrepreneur as a kid. My mom would pay me to help her make granola and bread. And so that's how it started. And then when I was a teenager, I grew alfalfa sprouts with a friend of mine to sell to a local health food store. That was when it was kind of a new thing, that they were just commercially like really selling sprouts. And then I have been involved in community health education over the years. My background's a nurse. I have a master's in public health, but my family has always been involved in community health education. When my kids were middle school age, I was homeschooling. Really? I don't take phone calls right now. And so I was home. Some of you might be able to relate to that. And then my mother-in-law ended up moving in with us because she needed elder care. And so I was in a position where instead of picking up a couple of shifts in nursing once in a while, like I had done previously, we were in a place where we were in some transition in our family. We needed a little extra income, and I was doing elder care, and that's a 24/7 responsibility, and often that means that your schedule's not real predictable because elderly needs are not on a schedule. So my husband and I talked about what I could do for supplementary income from home. And so we weren't sure, we were thinking about things. And I really believe the Lord led us to a camp meeting presentation that was just a kind of a general agriculture thing. But in the presentation, the people that were presenting started talking about microgreens and how they were selling microgreens as part of what they did. And they said a little bit about the process. And I was like, maybe that's something I could do. So we actually sat down, had a meal with them, discussed what it would take to get set up for microgreens. And shortly after, we started growing microgreens. So I had never done that before. That was a brand new market for me. I didn't have any idea who would buy microgreens, but we decided that that's where we were gonna go. And so we ended up growing it into a 6-year business, and we were growing about 50, 10, 20 trays a week, which is a pretty good amount in terms of like work and effort and input. And it was decent income as a supplementary income. Probably not enough to live on by itself, but It was really helpful because it was usually somewhere between, oh man, I should have asked my husband for the numbers. He's the number guy. But I want to say we were probably pulling in $2,000 to $3,000 a month with microgreens. So that was like in addition to my husband who had work. So that was really a big help to us as we were doing that. Now, and I could be wrong on that number, so don't quote me, but it was significant. And it was, we ended up hiring help for some of the work because it's very labor intensive, and if we wanted to go anywhere, you have to have somebody that'll kind of take care of your microgreens. Just like if you go away and you have animals, you need somebody to take care of your animals, same thing. So we did that, and then we lost our help, and at that point I had taken another job because I no longer, my mother-in-law had passed away, we moved, we had set up shop in a new house, and then I had gone to work and we had hired somebody to help us with the microgreens. So I remember this morning, those of you that were there with me, we talked about building team, that's what we did. We had a couple that would come in and do the main work for the microgreens. Like they would plant, they would make the soil, they would plant, and they would help us with harvest and packaging. And so we could do like the watering in between, and that was like easier stuff. But they helped me with the really labor intensive stuff that had deadlines, and like they would do deliveries for us, and it was really great. Then they ended up deciding they wanted to spend more time with their grandkids after a couple of years of working with us. And so my husband and I were still, he had his full-time business, and I was still doing a teaching business in town, and we just kind of picked up the slack for about 6 weeks, and we're like, we cannot do this, because it was just way too much. I mean, we were harvesting at midnight, and it was crazy. And so we decided, we kept looking for help, but we were very rural, and it was hard in our area to find help. So we ended up saying, okay, I think at this point it's better for us to do our jobs that we're doing and close down the microgreen business, which we hated to do because we loved our customers and our customers loved our product. And we had built a lot of really great relationships with it. But you know, I think the Lord knows exactly what timing is for us, whatever our endeavors are. Because as it turned out, we closed it down in September. And how many of you remember the big 2018 campfire in Northern California that wiped the city of Paradise off the map?
Yep.
My parents were involved in that fire and were evacuated for four weeks. And we were able to go out to be with them in California, help them get evacuated, settled for the whole month, get them back into their house before we had to go back. We could never have done that if we were tied down to microgreens. Or it would have gone to pot. So it, you know, it all worked out. And after the fire, just a few months later, my dad had a stroke, and we ended up moving to California. So that's where we are still. I'm going on about 5 years of being there with my dad, doing elder care. He's now 92. My mom's turning 97 in a few months. So yeah, that's what I do. So what I have found is that microgreens, for example, was a good flexible schedule. Side income that worked well. And then when I moved out to California, I decided I still need to do something, and microgreens is not an option when we're living out of two small bedrooms and we've got three businesses we're running. So I decided to do something with my health. And I had been doing some informal coaching, so I decided to really build a coaching business. So that's what I have been doing since I've been in California. So I ended up investing in a lot of training, which is where I've learned a lot of things I want to share with you all today. Because it's been really helpful, and I've had some really amazing mentors. So let's start with some definitions. What is marketing? What do you think? What do you think of when you hear the word marketing?
Selling your stuff.
Mm-hmm. Selling your stuff. Okay.
Getting your name. That's
legit. Getting your name in front of people.
Making the sale. Making the sale. What's the word? Extraneous. Making people want it so bad that the sale is.
Okay. I like that. We're going to connect that idea. Yes?
The whole system of producing the product and marketing it, like putting it in people's faces, creating a logo, like advertisement, promotion, and selling the product. It's all
part. Okay. All right. Those are all part. But I want you to remember that marketing is how you communicate the value you're offering.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because if you're not offering value, you shouldn't be in business, number one. And if you're offering value, then you have to communicate it effectively so that people actually see why it would make sense for them to invest in that. Okay? And I would encourage you to always be looking to serve people in ways where when they invest with you, it's an investment and not an expense. Okay, what's the difference between an investment and an expense?
Investment comes back.
An investment, you expect a return on your investment, right? So like if I gave you $10 and I told you if you come back, if you give me $10 and you come back tomorrow, I'll give you $11 back. That's like an investment, right? How many days in a row would you do that?
Every day,
right? So what you are providing to people, they should feel like that's an investment for them. What you are providing is going to be worth more than what they're giving you in money. All right. So always be thinking about that. And marketing is really very much about how you communicate that value. Because you might have a wonderful product, but if you can't communicate the value in a way that someone knows that this is what they need, then you're not going to be effective. So all of us are here doing what? We are growing better. So this is a process, right? We don't arrive, but we can always be learning how to grow better. So the root of marketing. So I like to go down to like foundational principles because I think it's really important. Whatever you're going to build on something, you need to make sure you've got a good foundation. So before we talk about like all the tech and how to use social media and email lists and all those other things that you probably thought you were coming here to listen to, I want to make it clear to you that the foundation of your marketing, very similar to the foundation of being successful as an entrepreneur, is based on your ability to communicate effectively and clearly what you're offering, how it solves your avatar's problem, and why it's needed now. Okay? And communication, obviously, is at the core of that. And some of us are better communicators than others. Would you agree?
Yeah.
But communication is a learnable skill. So it doesn't matter whether you think you're a good communicator or a bad communicator. You can always improve the way in which you communicate. So just be thinking about that. And as we go through these different pieces around marketing, I want you to be thinking about what are the things that I'm really good at, what are the things that I need to learn more about. Because in 2 hours, I cannot teach you everything you need to know about marketing. But I'm hoping I can give you enough guidance that you know where to go to get more information. Like, what is the piece you might be missing, okay? So, let's also ask a closely related question, which is, what is branding? Because we hear it a lot, we talk about marketing, we talk about branding, right? You talked about branding. So, what is branding?
What you stand for, I guess.
I like that. I like that. Here's the way I like to say it, which is a good brand is the reputation that makes people want to buy your stuff before they know what your offer is. Mm-hmm. Okay? It makes it so you don't have to sell. And you don't have to be salesy, which is what everybody hates, right?
Right.
Okay, you don't want to do any of those things. So how you do it is you build a brand, which is your reputation, that makes people want to buy your stuff before they even know what your offer is.
Wow.
Okay, that's what you're aiming for.
When you say know what your offer is.
The offer is like the product you're selling. Whatever it is you're selling, that's an offer.
They want it even before they know what it is.
Yeah, because it's you selling it.
Okay.
That's right.
So they have to trust.
It's a trust, know, and like factor. So you might write that down. TLK is the basis for successful sales. Now, we're not even talking about sales today. We're talking about marketing. But sales is what happens when people trust, like, know, and like, and trust you. I think I didn't say that in the right order. Know, like, and trust. So know is, that's first, like, you get acquainted. Like is like, ooh, I like what I see. Trust is, I know that they have integrity, they stand behind their product, it's excellent work, those are kinds of things. When you have all three of those in place, it's not hard to get people to exchange money for the value you're giving them. Okay, that's really what it's all about. So branding is rooted in your character. Once again, this comes up. It's more about your character and your way of being more than it is about what you do. Okay, it's really easy to get caught up in your product. Like, I got this great course. I got these wonderful tomatoes. I got this great jam, sourdough bread, whatever it is. gluten-free bread, that's Pam's specialty. She's got wonderful gluten-free bread. So before people know what that product is, like what it is you do, if you make sourdough bread or whatever you do, they want to know who you are. And your way of being is a reflection of how you think and how you feel, which is, of course, the definition of character, right? A lot of us are acquainted with that. And remember that your reputation, which is your brand, can be destroyed very quickly. One bad interaction can destroy your brand. We've had some big name brands have done that in the last year. You might have heard about some of them in the news. And it's also one of your most valuable assets. So you really want to be intentional about your brand. Take the time to sit down, write out, think about what you want to, what you stand for, and how will you communicate that effectively. Here's an example of some pretty effective both branding and marketing. Okay, as I was flying here, I ran across this on the wall in the airport at Love Field. And it explains a lot of the reasons why I like to fly Southwest. You take a look at this little, what do you call these things? Yeah. Word maps. Okay, they're like word maps. You can actually go online. There's places where you can, for free, make word maps based on like words you hear your customers telling you a lot or whatever. And or you can do like surveys, and then they'll take the key words and they'll make this. So it's a really kind of a fun thing to do. But the words that are used the most in the feedback you're getting will be the biggest ones, and then the words that are heard less frequently are smaller words. That's how it works. So, for example, we see big heart, little fares. How many of you have ever flown Southwest? There's a lot of heart in their culture. Like, this is a culture statement. And every business has a culture. It's what people feel when they're part of your community. Whether they're working for you, whether they're buying from you, okay, that's your culture. So look at how big heart is, okay? Heart is a big part of Southwest culture. No tricks, no hidden fees, fun in the sky. How many of you have experienced their brand of humor? Isn't it fun? I always enjoy that, like the stuff they do that they have to go through, the little emergency procedures. They make it fun. So it's like that's part of their brand. So this is an example of branding, but it's also marketing because like they got a picture of their colors. So what is this doing? It's telling you, here we are, here's what we offer, do you want it? So it's also marketing. And I think they communicated it pretty effectively. So when you're going to be effective in marketing, one of the first steps is understanding your market. And this is sometimes where we get sidetracked. How many of you have ever developed a product and then tried to find somebody to sell it to?
It happens.
All right? It happens a lot.
Yes.
Like people say, oh, I love this idea, whatever this idea is. I'm just going to like make this beautiful course, book, painting, whatever it is, before doing any research to see what your market wants. Now, it's fine if you want to do stuff for fun. But if you're trying to generate revenue, you need to be hitting somebody's pain point. So you need to know what those are. So one of the things you want to do is make sure that you are identifying the best fit that you can have with an avatar. And it means you're actually a good fit with values. So like, what do you stand for? And then who are the people that also stand for the same thing? All right, because everybody, how many of you know you have this wonderful product? And if anybody asks you who it's for, you'd say everybody. All right, it might be true. Like, okay, I'm a health coach. Who doesn't need health coaching, right? But if I think that my product is for everybody, it's for nobody.
Right.
So it's very, very important that you identify your avatar. So think about like what you stand for, what kind of a person are you, where are you gonna find more of those kinds of people, and start to create a community. Once you're in, have a community, you ask your community how you can serve them, and that's how you decide what your product's gonna be. And I think I'm getting ahead of myself. But that can be really important. So I want you to really be aware of that. Can you give me a time check at Okay, what, this one's supposed to be over at 3:45. Yeah. So let me know when it's 3:30 if I'm still talking.
Okay,
somebody, have 10 more minutes.
Still 3:30.
Okay, I'll keep talking. So how many of you have ever heard of an elevator speech? Okay, an elevator speech is one or two sentences that tells people what you do. And the reason they call it an elevator speech is because you can tell somebody what you did in an elevator ride from first floor to third floor. And even if you're not doing this in an elevator, because like who in the world sells anything in an elevator, but you want to be so clear about what you do that you can do this. So you should develop an elevator speech if you don't already have one. Okay. And here's what needs to be included. What is the problem you solve? Who do you solve it for? What is the desired outcome? And say it in one or two sentences. Okay. So how many of you have a product? All right. I want you right now to take 2 minutes, and I want you to make a stab at an elevator speech. Okay, here's my elevator speech. I work with women of faith to reverse diabetes using lifestyle interventions so they can keep their eyesight, their kidneys, and their legs. Mm-hmm. You know what I do?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I want you to do that for whatever it is you're trying to sell, whatever you do. Okay. And maybe you're not ready. I mean, it took me a while to get there. Okay, I did not do that in 2 minutes.
It seems like you're so broad.
That will help you though,
yeah.
Because if it's so broad, nobody thinks it's for them.
So is this a service or?
Doesn't matter.
If it's an orange, then you
yeah. So an orange. What's the problem you're solving? Somebody wants vitamin C, they're hungry, they like citrus and they can't find good citrus. They want citrus that's juicy and not dry like the stuff in the market. I mean, you better have a problem you're solving or you're not going to sell.
Okay.
What if you sell embroidery sweatshirts?
If you sell embroidery sweatshirts, who needs embroidery sweatshirts?
People who go to certain events. Yeah.
Who needs them? Why do they need them? Why do they need them?
Dressy stuff, yeah.
Okay, embroidery on t-shirts is a form of marketing. So who needs marketing? Every business out there. Right? So if you do embroidery, you get to go out there and tell a business, how can I help you get your brand beautifully on a shirt, a cap, or whatever it is you do? I'll help you make a good impression so people start to like you. Trust, know, like. They all know that. Right? So you get to do it for them in a way that is unique. You do it quicker than anybody else, and then you do it cheaper than anyone else. I actually recommend that as a business model.
Yeah.
That's the Walmart model, and you see what the quality looks like. Okay. It's better to go for your high end. I do excellent work that only some people it's a good fit for. Mm-hmm. You can do a lot less work and make a lot more money doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean, okay, I want to address something here that comes up a lot with big-hearted Christians. It's like, I want something that the homeless person on the street can benefit from. Okay, so I can't charge. It's got to be free. It has to be low cost. I can't even cover my costs because they wouldn't be able to afford it. How many of you ever thought any of those things about anything you're selling?
I did, but then I wasn't making any money. I was losing out.
Exactly. Okay, so here's how it works. If you want to help people that don't have resources, make yourself a business that brings in more income than you need for your basic needs so you can set up grants, sponsorships, a nonprofit to help those other people.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you do it. Okay? You don't start there if like you're depending on something to like support your family. You gotta go where you can generate revenue at a decent rate for your energy expenditure, your time expenditure. And then if you get good at that, you can be bringing in enough extra to do what you need to do for people that need that and maybe can't help it. But then by the time you do that, you'll be starting to look at the people that say they can't afford it and realize that their problem is not money.
Yeah.
Okay? Their problem is they don't know how to lead their lives. They don't know God. They don't know what values are. They've been through a lot of trauma and haven't healed. I mean, it's all kinds of reasons why people don't have money. But it's not because they just need you to give them money. Usually they need skills, education, might be literacy training. And that's the kind of things you can do when you're successful in business. So the more successful you are in business, the more impact you can have on the world. Okay? So take the brakes off your marketing. Like, some people are like, I'm good. I paid my bills. Do you think that's all God put you on here on earth to do?
No. Mm-hmm.
And the truth is that impact is very closely connected to income. So it's not about getting rich. It's not about how much money you have in the bank. It's about how much can you help people. That's what you're looking for. And to help people effectively, you need resources. And so you get to create value in the world to do that, which we talked about some this morning. Okay. So when you're thinking about who your avatar is, what do you want to know about them? What are the main pain points they see? How do they talk about them? What words and phrases do they use? And you want to know their demographics. How old are they? What sex? What marital status? What education? What kind of work do they do? What are their lifestyle preferences? What is their religion? Et cetera, et cetera. The more you know, how do I do that?
It was doing that with the last presentation too. I meant go away.
Yeah, it went away the last lecture.
So when you say avatar, do you mean like they're your audience, your buyer?
Oh, yeah, there we go. Okay, avatar is the person you're marketing to.
Your perfect customer.
It's your perfect ideal customer. And you should actually like write down what that person looks like. Everything you know about them. And you may not actually know a human being that fits that specifically, but that's okay. That's why we call it an avatar.
Mm-hmm.
But when you write your marketing, all of your messaging, all of your communications are for that avatar. Because if you don't have a clear avatar, your messaging is going to be all over the globe.
Yeah, I agree.
And it won't be effective. Okay? So it's really important. And if you don't know where it... I think I'm going to talk about this. Okay. I'll talk about where you get that information. Bring me back to it if I don't. So you want to know, what do they care about? Remember that whatever your business is, it's not about you. It's about who you serve.
Amen.
And so maybe they care about ethical farming practices. Maybe they care about sustainability. Maybe they're looking for a clean food source. Maybe they want something that's really nutritional. So they want something that's like organically grown, or somebody that knows something about soil science, so they get lots of vitamins and minerals in their food. They, you know, if you're not in directly in farming or gardening, you'll have other there'll be other questions that they care about. My avatar cares about the fact that they do not want to die the way they saw their mother, father, aunt, mm-hmm. and uncle die, because they watched that. And they're like, not interested. But they don't have a clue what to do about it. Mm-hmm. Because they're living the same lifestyle that their mother, father, aunt, and uncle lived. All right. So what my clients care about is, how can I do this without just taking more medicine?
Mm-hmm.
Because they go to the doctor, that's what they get, is more medicine.
Mm-hmm.
So when I say I do this through lifestyle interventions, they're interested. Okay. But whatever your area is, that's what you need to figure out. What do they really care about? What are their pain points? Okay, so I already let you work on the elevator speech. How many of you put something on paper? All right, the rest of you that didn't, you get 30 seconds to do that now. Who do you serve? What's the problem? Just at least two things. What's the problem? Is anybody here like completely lost?
So
like you have no clue what the problem is you solve.
My issue is, I make products for internal as well as for outside body. So it's hard to say what is the issue. Issue is stuff going on in body and outside of body.
Okay, so you're making herbal products, right?
Herbal products.
You grow your own herbs?
Some of it, yeah.
Okay. So the problem you're solving, okay, what's an example of an internal herbal preparation that you make?
Well, people who have asthma, bronchitis, even stuff from COVID, so my respiratory tonic.
You have a respiratory tonic. Ooh, should be able to do really well with that right now.
That is doing very well. And I have a natural body face product, so then how do I?
Okay, that's fine. So what you do is you solve the problem of people that want natural beauty and health products. Because they don't want a bunch of chemicals on their skin or in their bodies. And they believe that God put healing properties in herbs. Mm-hmm. Right? And so what you're doing is you're preparing the herbs in a way that can serve them internally, helping them with respiratory problems, their skin, making their skin clear, moisturized, whatever it is it does. Okay? Those are real problems that people are looking for answers to. Okay, so that's where you want to be looking at. So then you're looking for people who want that kind of health and beauty product. Natural. They're like back to the earth. Mm-hmm. They're not chemical free. They don't eat hormone meat. Mm-hmm. Hey, those are the people you're looking for. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of those people are people with money. Mm-hmm. So like make sure that, you know, when you're messaging the way people with money want to hear it. Not the way people with nothing want to hear it. So it's like your messaging helps you to pull out your avatar from the general population. Sure. So write this down. This is your little like template for your elevator speech. I or we, that's what you do, goes in the blank. For, your avatar goes in the blank. So that, and then you have your desired result. Those are the three pieces you need in your elevator speech. Okay. Yeah, take a picture of that. Alrighty, so is everybody clear? Do you know what it would take for you to get an elevator speech together now? Does that work?
Yes.
Okay. Alright, so if you don't have all the information you need, like you realize you don't actually know that much about your avatar, okay, then you need to do some research. That's what we call market research. A great site is answerthepublic.com. It's run by Neil Patel. He's an amazing marketer. But you can do a certain number of searches for free. Like you can set up a free account and you can get a lot of information with just a few. But basically, what he does is he looks at what are the most common questions in your niche that people are asking Google. And that tells you what people are looking for. So like just put in a keyword or two around your thing. Like put in herbal beauty. Put in herbal beauty and answer the public. And then you'll see what are the most common questions. And he actually has like, you know, 90% of the questions are this, and then there's fewer questions of this. It's like it's all color-coded. So you can tell what questions are being asked more often. And you'll go through people that ask questions like, why should I use these things? Or what is an herbal beauty hub? And then you go through all these like iterations of the questions around your keywords. And it'll like create graphics, and it's like you can download the stuff.
Wow.
And it's amazing. It's wonderful information. And Google collected it for you. Thank you, Google. So, another way you can get the information is talk to clients you already have. So anybody that's ever bought your product, go back to them and say, why did you buy my product? What appealed to you about it? What did you like about it? What didn't you like about it? How can I make it better? And I'm serious, like pick up the phone and call them. And if you don't have your phone number, you haven't been doing good marketing. If you have an email for them, email them, whatever it is. Contact people that have already bought from you. Okay, if nobody's bought from you, then you want to do some kind of a small group that you can introduce your product to that they will try, maybe at a reduced price. Maybe you even do it for free in exchange for testimonials. Like, don't be afraid to do that. Testimonials are super valuable. Okay, like when I first started diabetes coaching, I did it for next to nothing, just so I could get some testimonials. Mm-hmm. And I got some really amazing testimonials. Mm-hmm. And so don't underestimate the value of giving your product to some people or giving it to them at a very low price. Depending on your product, you might want them to invest something so they actually engaged in what it is. Like if it's a course or it's learning or something like that, people will be more engaged if they have some skin in the game. So you might do better selling it at a low price, then giving it away. Giving it away is about the only place giving away works is when you're looking for leads. Like you just want to know who's saying they're interested in what you've got. And that's not a bad thing. That's part of your marketing funnel. All right, so do a survey of your email list. How many of you that are selling products have an email list? I don't care how it is, if it's handwritten, if it's in a spreadsheet, if it's your Google distribution list.
I have a question. What about if you have like a third party platform like Shopify or Etsy?
Okay.
I sell my product to Etsy and then all my customers, they must review them.
Do you have contact information?
See, that's the thing. I don't get that.
Then you have to figure out how to get that.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll show you. There's ways to do that. It's really easy. So, like, you don't have any contact information for anybody that buys from your store?
Unless they send me a message if they want to do, like, custom made.
Okay. So, what I would do is I would set up your products so that with every product, you've got a freebie that you will add to what they bought if they email you. Like, they go to some form. That you set up in MailChimp or ActiveCampaign or some listserv,
yes.
So that you will give them something in addition to what they bought in the store if they go and they sign up.
Okay.
Because you really, it's like it's almost worthless to sell or to communicate with people that you can't get their contact information. All right, Google some statistics. So for some things, like, you know, I found out that 1 in 3 Americans are either pre-diabetic or diabetic. 90% of the pre-diabetics don't know it. So you know what I did? I went to ASI and I set up a booth and I did random blood sugars. And I found people that were diabetic and didn't know it. Okay. So it's like, figure out what the problem is, where those people are. I love my niche. It's like it's everywhere. I can go to almost any group of people except for probably at Agra. And you know, there's going to be like a significant number of people that what I do resonates with them. And if it doesn't resonate with you, I bet every one of you know a diabetic. Right? So, that's what you need to be thinking about. It's like, who can help me get my message out? Because if it was all up to me, I mean, I'm one person. I don't have a big ad spend budget. It's like, how do you get the word out? Part of it is by making connections. And we talked about that this morning. Okay, talk to potential clients. Okay, when I was starting to sell microgreens, I didn't know who to sell them to. So I made a list of restaurants in my community, and I just started calling them randomly, asking for their chef name, trying to get the number, trying to get him on the phone, and ask them if they could use microgreens. And if so, what kind were they interested in? And if they've never used them, is there something they thought they might be able to use them? Would they like a sample? Okay, there's a lot of different ways to do that. And so I was just cold calling. I walked into we had one organic market in town at that point. Actually there was three, but there was one that had a good produce section. And so I went there and I talked to the produce manager and I was like, would you be interested in selling microgreens? Because I went and I looked and there were no microgreens on the shelf. Mm. I said, would you be interested in microgreens? And he says, well, yeah, we used to have microgreens, but I don't know what happened to the supplier. And we don't get them anymore. I haven't had any microgreens for a year, year and a half. I was like, okay. So, could I bring some and let's just see how it goes? And he was like, okay, don't bring me too many. He says, how much do you want for it? He says, you know, I want a 35% markup on it. So I was like, okay. So I went home and I did my numbers and I called him and I was like, I can give you like a 3 ounce for this, or I can give you a 3 cup for that. And so he's like, okay, because I have to be able to mark it up and it still has to be like a reasonable price. So I was like, I understand. So we did that. So he's like, okay, I'll try it. We'll see how it goes. They were my customer for 6 years. Okay. And we ended up selling quite a bit of volume through them. It was really decent for quite a while. So you never know, right? I tried other supermarkets in the area. There was another one that was kind of a little niche-y. It wasn't like just a chain supermarket. And they wouldn't touch it. They were like, oh no, are you certified? Are your microgreens tested in the lab? And I'm just like, you don't do that with microgreens. Like, they were so ignorant, they thought it was sprouts. And they wouldn't touch my microgreens. And then finally, I kept talking to them. Finally, they took some microgreens. And then they put them in their coolers, like my basil. They would put it in the cooler that was too cold. And my basil was black in 2 days.
Yeah.
And I was like, this doesn't work. And so it's like, I'm not selling you basil anymore. I tried the peas, and you know, the really hardy stuff, right? Peas and sunflowers. And then they would put it in place and there was no turnover, so the stuff was rotting. I mean, I finally just pulled my product. I was like, this isn't working. And it's not good for my reputation to have stuff that looks like this. And it had to do with the way they were storing it, because my stuff didn't look like that in other refrigerators. And their refrigerators just like sucked the life out of my microgreens. And they were in clamshells, so it's like, I still don't know exactly what the deal was, but it didn't work. So you just have to try. If you don't have any potential clients, you're out in the country, you live all by yourself, you're 50 miles from a town, you don't know what to do, get out your phone. And this morning we were talking about internet access, right? And something I failed to mention that somebody else brought up to me is that there's another option besides Starlink, and that is get yourself a cell phone with a little bit of a data plan and a hotspot. You can get hotspots. And they can really improve your connectivity. And if you still have trouble, get yourself an extender, a signal booster. You can like put them up on your roof. And so a lot of times you can really improve your signal for your phone so that you can get internet by doing a few of those things. Those are some things I didn't mention this morning. Because you really, in this day and age, you're gonna do better if you're connected to the internet. It doesn't mean you have to be, but there's really a lot of marketing that you can take advantage of for low cost if you do internet. Okay. So always be looking for ways to create value in gathering data, whether it's formal or informal surveys. So it's like, when I just ask you a question, that's an informal survey. Mm-hmm. When I ask you, like, how many of you have a business? That's an informal survey. And you can do that in any area you're working in. And notice like what the responses are. Notice who's interested in what. Who's got that problem? They raise their hand. Okay? Those are things then that you know you can address and you're hitting somebody's pain point. So organize and use your research. What are we at?
342.
Okay, it goes to 345, right?
Yes.
Okay. Any of you have any burning questions right now of what we've already covered? What I'll do, I'm just going to start where we end here in the next session.
Yeah, you talked about like the business is not about you, but the other customer. So I want you to differentiate that between your passion and the other person.
Very good question. So a lot of people have passion problems. Okay? And there's nothing wrong with that. But what you want to do is figure out, unless you just want a hobby. If you just want to do a hobby, go do your passion thing. But if you're really looking to generate revenue, make a difference in people's lives, figure out what the intersection is between your passion and somebody's pain point. Because there's going to be one. What's your passion?
Mentoring.
So you like to share what you've learned with other people. Ooh, people need mentors. Mm-hmm. Young men need mentors. So yeah, there's a lot of alignment between what you love doing and what people need. So it's more about finding who the people are that need what you have to offer. Because mentoring is really broad, right? So is there a specific area that you like to mentor in? I'm sorry. Entrepreneurship. Okay, so like building businesses? Yeah, have you successfully built a business? Okay. 6 figures a year? More or less? 6 figures a year, more or less?
Less?
Okay, so here's the deal. If you want a mentor, you want to find someone that's behind you in the journey.
Yeah.
That's really all that matters. You don't have to be an expert. Mm-hmm. But you need to be able to mentor or teach the people that are not as far as you are. Mm-hmm. Hello, that's what I'm doing here today. I am not a marketing professor. There's a lot I still have to learn about marketing. But are you all getting any value?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the point. So find someone. Like if maybe you want to work with somebody that has an idea and they don't know how to get it off the ground. Maybe you can help a startup. Mm-hmm. Right? So if you've already been through the startup phase with your business and you've gotten some traction, obviously, then it's like, how did you get to where you are? You can share that. Don't try to teach what you haven't done yet.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just, let me put that out there. It's not being honest. You're inauthentic. You'll end up looking stupid at some point. Yes, Rob.
So I know you, and now I'm liking and trusting you after today.
Well, thank you,
yeah,
Rob.
We didn't have that opportunity before. What's your role? Because you listed all these things, and you're doing the diabetic coaching. Is Ad Agra to you a hobby, or is it also one of your jobs?
Oh, that's a really interesting question, Rob.
Because obviously you do great marketing for Ad Agra.
Well, so here's how it is. I love a lot of the things I've learned as I've learned to build my business. A lot of those are principles that apply across businesses, right? I've had some really great mentors. And in my conversations with people, I've seen that many people have not had an opportunity to learn what I've had an opportunity to learn so far. And I see what a difference it made for me in building my business. And I'm like, I'm happy to share what I've learned to help somebody else move forward. And I just like helping people. Okay, so for me, it's more of a passion thing.
Yep.
And I got started because we were doing agriculture. We were doing microgreens when Pam and John organized the very first conference. So we came to that, right? And I was like, oh, so I'm networking for my business, right? That's what hopefully you all are doing. And so I got involved with Ad Agra, and I love, I like tech. And there were some holes where they needed tech. So I got started in registration and building RegBox and stuff like that that we use now. And so then as Ad Agra has grown, because I was involved, I was seeing gaps. And so I just volunteered. I volunteer registered for years. And then a couple of years ago, I was like, we really need to up our communication as an organization. So I kind of volunteered to do communication, all right? And so then as we continue to grow and our organization has developed and we got more focus over the last year and some directions we want to go going forward, it became clear that sales and marketing was a piece that needed to happen. And so they asked me if I would help with that. And so I did, and I'm actually phasing out after this conference because I don't have the bandwidth to do it all. But I've really, really enjoyed it. I've learned, and I get to do this. And then that's kind of what I was talking to Tara, and I was like, that's something we haven't really seen at our conferences is like entrepreneurship skills. And I'm like, we really do need that. If you're farming and gardening and trying to sell produce, you need to understand some of these principles. So that's kind of how we came to that.
How would you communicate with your customers if they're people who are buying from this retail store? You don't know who it is. You're working with the retail store, and you're not working with your end users.
Okay, the retail store people. What do they need from you?
I see. Okay.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.